Comme ici. Good morning. Okay, so the next one of the 48 midos that we're going to talk about is something that appears in many, many Ma'amar Chazal, that one of the facilitators to acquire Torah knowledge is anava, is humility. Now, this association between the acquisition of Torah, which would seem purely cognitive and intellectual, and a moral trait, is highlighted by many, many different imagery in Chazal. But the most famous ones are, first of all, the selection of Har Sinai. All the other mountains were preening and prancing around about how lofty and beautiful they were, and Hashem chose a lowly, ugly mountain to highlight that Torah is posted on a mountain that has no presumption, no vanity. It's highlighted by the Sneh. Hashem first appeared to Moshe, not in a cedar, or Arzei Levanon, not in a beautiful tree that has nice smelling wood, a beautiful fruit, but a Sneh, a lowly bush. Hashem highlighted to Moshe that his presence is found through humility. The third area that is highlighted is water. Why is Torah compared to water? So Chazal have about 7 or 8 interpretations. One of the most popular ones, it's the Tainus of Zion, is that water normally descends. So it descends at a global level from the polar ice caps down to the equator. Water melts in the polar ice caps and the oceans below get a little bit more full. It also descends on a local level, topographically, from mountain snow caps down to the rivers below. That's how all water descends. So as I'll say, just like water descends from a lofty place, even from the sky down to the earth, similarly Torah, though it's from Shemayim, it descends into the lowest of hearts. So those are the three images that Chazal normally conjure up to create this association between Torah and Anava, Torah and humility. And of course Moshe Rabbeinu, who's the greatest Ish Elokim who studies in the universe of Torah, is also Ish Moshe Anav Miot. So Pirkei Avos says that one of the 48 facilitators of the Torah wisdom is Anava. So they are echoing a sentiment that Chazal repeat often. The question is, why is anava necessary to acquire Torah? What's the main one? You wouldn't normally think. You think maybe intellectual abilities, drive, other factors. Why is humility? Humility is an important moral trait, but why is it a facilitator of Torah acquisition? So there are three things to think about. Number one, Torah is not just something you acquire on your own, independently, autonomously, through your effort and indulgence, though it's necessary. But you always need Siyata Lishmaya. We dive in every day. We say, Mlevenu, Lahavinu, Lahaskil, Lishmoa, Lumoda, Lameh, Lishmoa, Vlasosa, Lakaim, Skolda, Beis, or Atamatu, Asecha, Biava. As much as you think you can acquire Torah independently, you need HaKadosh Baruch Hu to assist. And especially Torah, because it's infinite and so sweeping and so overwhelming. We dive in Hashem, it should help us acquire knowledge of Torah. So presumably, HaKadosh Baruch Hu responds to people who are morally fit. So if you're morally suited for his Torah because you're humble, humility is one of the bulwarks, one of the foundational traits of integrity. Right? The Rambam talks about the two traits that you should be extreme about. The Rambam feels the most character traits you should be moderate about. You shouldn't be too garrulous, you shouldn't be too quiet, you shouldn't be too spendthrift, you shouldn't be too frugal. But when it comes to humility, you should be extremely humble, because humility is such an important trait, and arrogance and cockiness is such a toxic trait. So the first reason that anava enables Torah study is because it invites Hashem to assist in the process of Torah study. But it's more than that, and that's the second aspect. If you knew that every word of Torah was Hashem's word, you'd never forget any Torah, and you'd study Torah your whole day to get as much as you can. So obviously, the acquisition and the retention of Torah is not just an intellectual ability, but it's how much you care and how much you see as Dvar Hashem. Rav Aaron once told me that if you saw every word of Torah as Hashem's Torah, then you'd never forget a Tosus. You'd never not understand a Tosus. If Hashem came to you in a dream and said, Jacob, I have the following to say to you. If you remembered it, let's say when you woke up, you'd write it down and you'd repeat it 3-4 times a day so you'd never forget it. You'd hold on to that piece of paper, you'd try to understand its deeper meanings. The problem is we don't often see Torah as Dvar Hashem because we don't see HaKadosh Baruch Hu as clearly as we should. So there's a direct proportion between how deeply you see Torah as Dvar Hashem and how well you understand it and how well you retain it. Now, the second part of this equation is your ability to see Hashem in part, not always, not exclusively, but in part, is directly related to how little of yourself you see. So the more selfless you are, the less of an ego you have, the more you see Hashem. One of the deterrents and blockers of seeing Hashem is if you see too much of yourself, too much of your ego, be too self-centered. That's why becoming a selfless person in Chesed also helps you become a better Avod Hashem, because once you decentralize yourself to the other, your friend, you can decentralize yourself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu also. So follow the equation. In order to understand Torah well and to retain Torah, you have to see Hashem more clearly. When you see Hashem more clearly, you have to see less of yourself. How do you see less of yourself? Through humility. How do you see less of Hashem and more of yourself? Through cockiness and arrogance. The very famous Gemara in Temura that Moshe, on his deathbed, turns to Yeshua and says, do you have any questions? And Yeshua says, no, I'm good to go. I know everything that I need to know. But that day he forgot 2,000 or 3,000 halachas. Yeshua. People were angry at Yeshua. And what Yeshua just forgot is a punishment from Hashem? Or it's more true that once Yeshua had a little bit of self-worth, wasn't cockiness in the way we would define it, but once he showed a little more confidence in himself, because now he was the man, so he saw more of himself. Once you see more of yourself, you see less of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Once you see less of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, your retention on the entire Torah starts to fray. So he forgot some halachos because he was so less of Hashem because he saw more of himself. Or Moshe greets the generals who are returning from the war in Midian in Parshas Matos. He starts to get angry at them because they didn't listen to his direct command to eliminate all the women. And Moshe's a little angry, and because of that, the Gemara says his own issue was that he forgot some of the Torah and the laws of Ge'ulei Kelim, of how to kasher Kelim, had to be delivered through Elazar HaKohen. Again, Moshe gets punished because he's angry, or when you get angry, you feel about your own needs a little more. Anger is always pride, that your interests have been wounded, that your authority has been compromised, hasn't been fully adhered to. So once you start to see a little more of yourself, a little less of Hashem, and you're at least at Moshe's level, not at our level, or Halavai, we should all be angry with the type of anger that Moshe may have displayed, and then your Torah retention starts to slip. So that's the second reason that humility is a necessary enabler for Torah acquisition, because it decentralizes the self and lets you see Hashem more clearly, more directly, and therefore your pursuit and retention of Torah will be more desperate because you realize it's a divine word. The third reason is as follows: not just how you acquire Torah, but how deeply you apply it. In Parshas Truma, when the Torah describes the dimensions of the Aron, so the dimensions are always fractional. 2.5, 1.5, 1.5. You'd think that something as spectacular and regal as the Aron should have complete measurements, 3 by 2 by 4. Why are the measurements fractional? It's crazy. It seems so amateurish, unprofessional. The answer is because nothing that human beings can craft for Torah, and the Aron is iconic because it's a box of the house, the Torah can be perfect. Human creations aren't perfect. Torah completes us. Torah makes you a more complete person. So that's symbolized by the fact that the Aron is incomplete until the Torah comes in. And you're looking for completion by requiring the Torah. So symbolically, the Aron has to be something which is incomplete and striving for completion. How do you look at Torah? If you look at Torah, basically your life is pretty good. And all your interests to serve and all your ambitions can be attained. And of course you want to learn Torah. But you feel that until you learn Torah, there's something imperfect about you. There's something incomplete about you. There's something lacking, and Torah has to fill you out. It has to complete you as a person and raise your kedusha and lift you up to the place of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a very, very subtle attitude, but it's an important attitude to try to build out. Your life can't be complete without Hashem's word. Your life can't be complete just because you're healthy and you have money and you're spiritual and, okay, now I want to learn Torah. This is an additive. I want to study Devar Hashem. No, there's something missing. Until I study Devar Hashem, until I bring Hashem into my life and into my relationship, there's something flawed, there's something missing. That attitude is best promoted by anava. You have this humility that I'm not everything I'm cracked up to be. I'm searching to become a better person, and I'm flawed. Not sinful, Chas V'Shalom, that's a Christian thought. But I'm limited as a human being. Whatever I can achieve through human terms, I'm still limited. And to complete myself, and to perfect myself, and to raise myself, to elevate myself, and to study Torah, people who are very, very cocky, tell you so often that in the school systems that many of you are part of, there's an unhealthy celebration of intellectual capabilities. Who gets the top student, the one with the best marks, because it's easiest. It's an easy metric. But it deludes everyone into thinking that intellectual achievement is the highest form of character. The person who's the greatest victim of that delusion is the top student, because he or she thinks they're so great because they have intellectual skills, and sometimes it masks real personality flaws, moral flaws underneath. So are you able to say, as much as I'm trying to achieve and as successful as I am, I'm still really limited, and Torah is the way that I complete myself, that I reach Shleimus. We say it every day, Yom Shabbos and Davening, Torah is Hashem Timimah, Meshivas Nafash, Eidos Hashem Nemanah, Machkim Espesi. The Torah makes you, in some ways, even stronger physically, but this is just a metaphor. It doesn't make you only stronger physically, but it's machkimas pesi, the sam chalei, the iris anayim. It makes your eyesight better. I mean, the Torah, generally, Torah makes your eyesight weaker because you study so much Torah, but it makes your vision stronger, the iris anayim. So these are the three reasons that humility is a facilitator for Torah. Number one, because it provides moral grounds for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to assist. Number two, because it decentralizes your own ego. Hopefully you'll see it as more of Hashem's will, and you'll strive, and you'll retain, and you'll work hard at Torah. And finally, because attitudinally, you'll see yourself in ways that are proportionate, rather than bloated and outsized, and you'll be looking for Torah as a completer of your personality, rather than just as an extrinsic aspect of yourself. Okay? Have a good, humble day, everyone. And I'll serve humble pie for lunch. Dessert.
Got to get better desserts than you should.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Have a good day. Have a good day, guys. Nisim.